In the world of international espionage, few characters loom as large as Nikolai Hell. Born in Shanghai to Russian aristocracy, raised in Imperial Japan, and forged in the crucible of post-war chaos, Hell emerges as something extraordinary, an assassin whose pursuit of aesthetic perfection drives him more than violence itself. What makes him truly dangerous isn't just his ability to kill with anything from pencils to drinking straws, but his philosophical detachment from the act. For Hell, assassination is merely another expression of shibumi, that ineffable quality of refined mastery beneath commonplace appearances. While Western thrillers glorify brute force, Hell's story reveals the true power of understated excellence and spiritual tranquility. His journey asks us, in a world dominated by mediocrity and commerce, how do we maintain personal integrity and beauty? Imagine growing up in pre-war Shanghai, where your multilingual education taught you that each language served a different emotional purpose: French for love, Russian for tragedy, German for business, English for servants. This was Nikolai's childhood, where his mother's aristocratic background contrasted with the colonial exploitation he witnessed in Shanghai's streets, seeding his lifelong contempt for the merchant mentality, those profiting without creating value. The Japanese occupation brought an unexpected mentor, General Kishikawa Takashi, a widowed samurai who discovered the boy's self-taught interest in Go, the ancient game requiring both mathematical precision and poetic sensibility. Their bond introduced Nikolai to shibumi, great refinement underlying commonplace appearances. After his mother's death, Nikolai studied under Go master Otake in rural Japan, discovering his ability to rest during intense concentration, entering states where he experienced oneness with his surroundings. These spiritual experiences, combined with his Go training and first love with Mariko, shaped a mind that could see hidden patterns, appreciate subtle imperfection, and maintain perfect calm amid chaos. Post-war Japan transformed Nikolai from scholar to killer. As a translator for American occupiers, he found them good-hearted but materialistic and historically myopic. His emotional detachment shattered upon learning his beloved Mariko died at Hiroshima, and his mentor General Kishikawa was imprisoned as a war criminal. In a defining moment, Nikolai visited the general and, using Go terminology as code, offered him an honorable death. With a precise pencil strike, he killed the general instantly, a mercy killing that landed him in prison under brutal American interrogation. The trauma blocked his mystical abilities, creating a spiritual wound that would haunt him for decades. 3 years later, the CIA offered freedom for an assassination in China. Nikolai countered with demands, $100,000, Costa Rican citizenship, and his interrogator's addresses. This wasn't mere revenge, but the beginning of a career where he set his own terms. His rise as the world's premier assassin was driven by professional pride, not bloodlust. Like a master craftsman, he approached killing as an art form, each operation a problem requiring minimal resources and maximum elegance. After decades as an assassin, Nikolai created his sanctuary in the Basque Mountains, a chateau restored to 18th century authenticity with no modern conveniences except an underground telephone line. At its heart lay a Japanese garden embodying shibumi, sweet melancholy, forgiving sadness, intentional imperfection, and organic simplicity. This retreat represented a rejection of superficial modernity. Here, he found purpose cultivating beauty with the same focus he once applied to killing. His household included Hana, an exceptionally trained companion acquired as payment for his final mission, and Leika Go, a bombastic Basque poet who became his closest friend. With Leika Go, Nikolai pursued cave exploration, descending beneath mountains to confront primal fears of darkness, falling, cold, and flooding. These expeditions weren't about conquering nature, but facing his limitations, with no audience for his victories over inner demons. The underground passages mirrored his internal journey toward unexpected beauty. Even Nikolai's sexuality reflected philosophical depth. Having progressed through four developmental stages, he reached the refined game phase, where mental engagement surpassed physical pleasure, another expression of Shibumi's emphasis on depth beneath surface appearance. Nikolai's retirement is disrupted when Hannah Stern, his friend's niece and sole survivor of a revenge cell, seeks his help before being murdered near his lodge. Nikolai discovers the Mother Company, a consortium of oil companies acting as an invisible government, has targeted him. They freeze his assets, destroy his chateau, and demand he allow a terrorist hijacking. Instead, Nikolai eliminates five terrorists aboard the Concorde using only improvised items like a comb and plastic cup. His ultimate revenge comes through leverage, using Kennedy assassination information to force a meeting with the company's leader, Ma. He secures compensation and vengeance against Hannah's killers. In Victory, Nikolai recognizes the Mother Company exemplifies what his mentor warned about: the age of the mediocre man. These institutions, filled with unremarkable people following procedures rather than exercising judgment, would eventually wear him down through persistence. Rather than fight endlessly, he chooses peace until they come for him, when he'll withdraw, voluntarily, by his own hand. Nikolai's pursuit of Shibumi transcends aesthetics to become a comprehensive philosophy, evident in his Japanese garden's intentional imperfections, his cave exploration, and his approach to relationships that prioritizes mental engagement over physical sensation. General Kishikawa taught him that Shibumi represented great refinement underlying commonplace appearances, an ineffable quality of understated beauty and spiritual tranquility. While the general saw Shibumi as submission, Nikolai interpreted it as power, the ability to excel invisibly without attracting the attention and vengeance of the tyrannical masses. This philosophy contrasts sharply with Western values of conspicuous achievement and material success. Nikolai respects creators like farmers, artisans, and scholars, while despising merchants who collect power and wealth out of proportion to discrimination. His critique extends to modern civilization itself, increasingly dominated by profit-driven corporate interests. Nikolai's mystical experiences during intense concentration represent Shibumi's ultimate expression, moments of oneness with the universe. Losing this gift after Kishikawa's death was his greatest spiritual wound, only beginning to heal when he relinquishes hatred at the novel's end. As Nikolai kneels before his lacquered table with his treasured possessions, the go bowls from Kishikawa and a yellowed letter from Shimbashi Station, he embodies Shibumi's final lesson, knowing when to withdraw from the game. His decision isn't surrender, but an assertion of dignity against institutional mediocrity. The wisdom lies in recognizing that some battles cannot be won through direct confrontation. The Mother Company would prevail through persistence rather than brilliance. Instead of fighting this reality, Nikolai chooses to live fully present, severing himself from future concerns. With this decision, years of accumulated disgust and hate melt away, as once severed from the future, the past becomes an insignificant parade of trivial events. This is Shibumi's profound teaching. True freedom comes from mastering our internal response to circumstances, not controlling external ones. In our corporate-dominated world, we can cultivate our own gardens of Shibumi, spaces of beauty and integrity apart from commercial values. We can withdraw strategically and find dignity in living by our standards rather than seeking external validation. The question isn't whether we'll win against mediocrity, but whether we'll maintain integrity along the way.